I'm John Powell, and I live in Ypsilanti. Came to Ann Arbor area in 1974 as a director of the Michigan Area Office of American Friends Service Committee. And that's how I got introduced, in fact, with ICPJ. Involved actually in civil rights activities even before that as a Mennonite minister. And earlier involved with civil rights in the South. So my interest was really perked when I came to Michigan, really concerned about how all of the issues around social justice intersected, and looked at various organizations and individuals who were working at that. My concern, again, was making sure that I didn't invest a lot of time in places that really weren't providing what I considered to be proactive advocacy. But ICPJ was one of those places that was, in fact, doing that. When I came to work with American Friends Service Committee, I was also the Peace Secretary for American Friends Service Committee. And again, ICPJ's focus was on peace, and it was particularly focused on why build more weapons of destruction when, in fact, we have a total proliferation of that, not only in the U.S., but also pretty much across the world. And one of the weapons that was continually being debated was the B-1 bomber. In fact, the B-1 bomber was somewhat obsolete even before it got off the assembly line. But there was still that collaboration between what we considered to be the military complex. How do we make sure that that Rockwell, as an example, would get what it needed to get, because it had already invested a significant amount of money. It had stockholders and shareholders who had invested and was looking for investments, returns on their investments. But the continued work of the campaign around the B-1 bomber was intended to not only to just try to slow it down, but in fact get people to realize that continually building more weapons was not the answer. What we finally ended up doing, and there was this kind of demonstrations that were happening not only in Ann Arbor, but in a variety of other places, but the Rockwell International Stockholders Meeting was being held in Dearborn. And so what American Friends Service Committee, in collaboration with ICPJ, decided to do is to find some way to have a demonstration. If there's a way not only to get some kind of action, but to have a demonstration outside, and to also to try to have some kind of demonstration inside. Now, the demonstration inside did not really work that well. We were able to find some individuals who were part of the peace movement who, in fact, were stockholders. And they were able then to give us access and credentials in order to get onto the inside. And a few of us did get inside. But as the open discussions were happening on the inside, there was also prayer going on the outside. Dick Singleton and I went and prayed on the helicopter landing. And it was really kind of interesting in that as we were kneeling praying, a helicopter was just about ready to land, as I remember. So we were somewhat oblivious to the fact that it was about to land. And the helicopter made no effort, in fact, to not just to hover and wait till we moved. Finally, some of the people who were part of the demonstration came in and just moved us out of the way, and the helicopter landed. I am not really sure whether that was deliberate or not. I'm suspecting it was quite deliberate to scare us and to move and to get us to move away from. But inside, there was continued debate on the B-1 bomber. It was a continued debate on various holdings that Rockwell had. And whenever there was an attempt to try to move away from the discussion around the B-1 bomber, people who had credentials from our side would always interject that particular subject again back into the conversation. And I think one of the things, what ended up happening is that that particular demonstration somehow built more momentum in Ann Arbor and in Michigan to say, hey, we really need to think about whether the B-1 bomber and whether armaments of this kind really somehow is needed. And there was, in fact, much more discussion and also organizing around that. And I really do attribute the organizing in Michigan to that particular event that really got people really thinking about what could happen if there was a real concerted effort on the part. Now, coincidentally, as part of that whole thing, too, simultaneously with that was another demonstration that was going on. And that demonstration was also doing leafleting and in both Ann Arbor and in Detroit. We produced a plate that had a person sitting at the table with a fork and a knife. And on that plate was a B-1 bomber. And it said, bombs are bread. And while a number of the issues also, the hunger issue was quite relevant in Detroit. And one of the things as part of American Friends Service Committee that we were doing was pointing toward the hunger issue in Detroit. And so when we connected the issues of armaments with the issue of hunger in Detroit, and ICPJA was part of that initiative, both here and also in Detroit. I really do credit that that particular movement as getting more traction around what it means to prioritize social issues over against military and so forth. We continued to work. And as I left American Friends Service Committee, I became director, assistant director of community services at the university and director of the William Monroe Trotter House. And there were two particular collaborative events that we were engaged with through ICPJ. The first was the divestiture issue. The University of Michigan had invested funds in corporations doing business in South Africa. And Perry Bullard, who was representative at that time, had worked with legislature to get legislation passed that any educational institution that continued to invest in corporations doing business in South Africa would lose its state funding. The University of Michigan decided it was going to test that. And we decided that we were going to test it as well. ICPJ was part of the Washtenaw County Coalition Against Apartheid. And in that regard, we decided we were going to do some organizing. We were going to do some education with people in the community around it. We did leafleting. We had time to talk with professors and students about it. We also went to the Board of Regents and met with the Board of Regents to protest, actually, and to give them what we considered to be rationale for divesting and so forth. This went on really on for about a year, continued working with that campaign. Finally, we decided we were going to hold a vigil, and we held that vigil in front of the president's house the night before the regents decided to vote on divestiture. It captured that vigil, I think, in fact, captured the imagination of what, in fact, could happen if there was a real concerted effort on the part of groups of individuals and organizations to really rally around. And what had happened was that the news, both local and national news, got a hold of the demonstration. And the following day, the information that we had received is that the regents had made a determination that they were not going to divest. But after that particular demonstration, there was a vote, and they did divest. Now, there was a number of things that that was really kind of interesting in that, because there was both praying going on simultaneously as people were surrounding the president's house. Unfortunately for me, I got caught in the middle of that. And I was photographed on my knees praying in front of Shapiro's house. And the next day began my termination from the university. But for me, one of the key pieces of that was during that whole time of going through the termination process, members of ICPJ were there in support, continual support of me and other individuals who had gotten involved with that. And so I not only saw ICPJ as an instrument of action, but it was also an instrument of support, individual and collective support for individuals who were on the front line and who basically saw the need to make some kind of action and so forth. And even though ICPJ was didn't have all of the necessary financial resources, I mean, the leadership did say to me, you know, if you need something, don't feel as though you are alone. And I think for me, that was one of the most visible actions that as a person who was not a member of ICPJ, but as an individual who was part of the movement, that set volumes for me. For me, the issue of human rights, civil rights, and the way in which we somehow interface with each other is reflected on how we work with our economy. And that was really a concern that ICPJ had during the time that I was related to them. When we started, I was working at the university, and a number of us who were part of the urban and regional planning program and so forth, Paul Ray, as an example, who was a professor at the university, deeply involved in alternative economies and so forth, we began to talk about how does the economy impact the way in which we relate to each other. And so we started talking with ICPJ around that. And one of the things we decided we were going to do is that why not have a regional conference that would begin to somehow lay out what the issues are and who are the people that are protagonists with the whole issues, and how can we begin to work at alleviating some of the problems? And so we did. We held a regional consultation, and that was a significant consultation. It was held on campus, started on Friday, and went through Sunday morning. And again, I'm trying to remember the speakers and so forth, and I'm drawing a blank on who those were. But one of the things that was clear is that we had a number of not only panel discussions, but we also had small groups that were centered around developing strategies to address some of the specific kinds of issues, and that was related just not only into Ann Arbor, but also related to the surrounding region. And those groups began to move out from that consultation into the larger community, into Chelsea, into Manchester, into areas south, and even into Detroit, to talk about how do we work at humanizing the American economy. And again, that we also looked at what was happening with the military as part of that. And we looked at sustainable agriculture as another way. And so out of that consultation then grew the need for talking about how do we do urban gardening. And urban gardening began to take a focal point in Detroit. And in Milan, some of that also began to happen. I'm not sure exactly where all of that finally ended up, because after I left the university, after being terminated from the university, I ended up working in civil rights protection for persons labeled mentally ill in Lansing. So my activity actually in Ann Arbor really ceased and so forth. And then from there, I moved to Buffalo. And so coming back here, one of the things that obviously I've noted is that there seems to be some interest still that came from that particular focus around the issues of urban gardening and so forth. And most recently, when I started talking with a person who is right now, I wouldn't say gentrifying Detroit, but in the areas buying up properties and planting trees and areas that really is almost like a war zone and so forth. It's called Hants Farms. And Hants Farms has now coming is this whole idea comes out of the focal point that we worked at back in, out of the humanizing the American economy focus and so forth. The other thing that I mentioned here was the fact that CPJ's focus with the Nestle's boycott. I wasn't as much involved with that as my wife was. Shirley was the vice chair of the national boycott. And one of their major campaigns, as I remember, was, and I don't know how much people really know about the Nestle's boycott, it was intended to bring attention to the fact that Nestle's was promoting their formula, infant formula, to developing countries and to mothers in developing countries where over against breastfeeding. And so mothers were using their infant formula in places where water was not adequate. I mean, it was, and so children were dying. Children were being malnourished as a result of the lack of breastfeeding and so forth. And that was this national campaign, which ICPJ was very much a significant part of. And the one thing that they did that is really impressive as far as I'm concerned was there was this coupon campaign. And the coupon campaign, instead of cashing in coupons, they were to be collected and then taken to the headquarters in White Plains. And actually, along the way from the West Coast, coupons were collected, put in boxes, and collected on the way, and with stops from various places in the U.S., and collecting boxes, and those with a truck, and half a truckload of coupons were collected over a period of several years and taken to the headquarters in White Plains. And it was really interesting to see individuals who were part of the corporation come and, in fact, get those coupons. That took center stage in helping people begin to understand that corporate America could, in fact, be challenged. And what ended up happening was out of that, there was continued focus. And so it finally ended up with the resolution. The boycott finally ended with negotiations in Geneva. They stopped that practice, but they continued it in another way, and so forth. But so when I came back to Michigan after spending 13 years in Buffalo, I decided that I needed to again reconnect with ICPJ. And so I have connected with ICPJ. Because of my schedule, however, I've not been able to really serve in the ways that I've wanted to, but my support is still there.